Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey, in today for Lori Walsh. Deadwood has been known as South Dakota's playground since the state was founded in 1889. This Thursday at noon, there's a presentation at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center in Deadwood, where author Michael Trump will discuss the attempts to rid the community of vice. Michael is regulatory counsel for National American University and has a background in history. He joins us now from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City. Michael, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You heard me use the word vice. Can you elaborate on what was meant by ridding the community of vice?
Sure. Deadwood was a gold rush town, and there were a number of examples of gold rush towns in the western U.S. Most of them, if not all of them, had activities that people usually associate with vice. For example, alcohol, prostitution, gambling. It's just kind of a common term to signify a human frailty or a moral failing in something. Kind of like if you know something is not good for you, but you do it anyway. You can't resist taking part. And Deadwood, again, was certainly one of those towns that had various forms of vice, in particular the alcohol with the saloons. Gambling and prostitution were very common in Deadwood in the Gold Rush days.
Now, you've authored a book called Raiding Deadwood's Badlands. Let's get into some of those raids, if you will, beginning with the first one in the 1950s.
Sure. If we want to talk about the raids, I kind of distinguish them based upon the vice. Prohibition times, there was really not a lot of raids with regard to alcohol. The gambling raids occurred in the 40s, and the prostitution raids took place in the 50s, and then there was one final one in 1980. I also kind of distinguished them depending on who initiated the raid. And in 1952, I refer to that one as kind of the locally led raid on the brothels. There was a state's attorney in town who was in charge of law enforcement for the entire county. He decided that he did not want to have prostitution ongoing. It was very well known that these houses existed right there on Main Street. And so he had a raid with local law enforcement and arrested the town's four madams. The first trial that took place, this was a criminal trial, one of the madams was put on trial for running a house of prostitution. And the interesting result of that was the trial occurred. The one entire day was spent choosing the jury. I think the attorneys were aware that picking a jury of your peers was going to be critical to this case. And then the trial was a one-day trial. But the thing that struck me as interesting was, even though it was no secret that this was going on, in fact, Deadwood often has flaunted the fact that they had brothels operating illegally in the town. The jury took about 5 minutes after hearing the evidence to acquit the madame, which to me sent a loud message to state's attorneys or any kind of law enforcement efforts to rid the town of these brothels, that we want these here. This is a jury of your peers, and we want these houses here because they bring in monies into the community, among other reasons.
When you say they bring in monies to the community, we're not talking prostitution dollars. We're talking about other dollars in other aspects of Deadwood.
Yeah, I think what happened was as prostitution became ingrained with Deadwood, as it continued on in the town, it became tethered to the economy and became more and more important to the local economy. It wasn't just the monies that Johns would spend up in the houses, although that was probably substantial. I think they would often come to town early. They would come to town for another reason, like maybe hunting. And then they would come to town and either go out to dinner, or they would go to the local bars and have a few drinks, or they might spend the night in a hotel. There were various ways that having people come to town, you can spend monies, and then once the monies were spent, maybe in town, but also in the houses, I think the ladies that worked in the houses, the madams, were very astute to kick some of those monies back to the town. They were well known for being charitable. Any local in town that was having a charitable event or needed some monies for a fundraiser knew to go first to the houses. And the madams would often compete with one another to see who would give the most. It was said that the Deadwood fire engine was funded almost entirely by contributions from the brothels. So there were various forms or ties to the economy that these houses brought.
Do we know of other places the money was given to other than the fire engine?
You know, that was the one that sticks out in my mind. And I think it just whatever the event or whatever the fundraising effort, it was go to the houses first and they will be probably the most generous.
So that was, there were three raids, correct? I mean, when we're talking about these raids, the 50s, and then there was two in the 50s and then one even as in 1980.
Right. There was a state-led raid that occurred in 1959, and I think it was spawned probably somewhat from the state, but also from another local prosecutor who came to town and also did not like the idea of having something going on illegal in his jurisdiction. He approached it a little bit differently in 59. I think he had done his homework and realized that if he tried to prosecute this criminally, it was going to result probably in another acquittal. So what he did was took a civil law approach and looked to get an injunction against the houses for operating. That one was interesting because the process wasn't started correctly, and the defense attorney in that case appealed it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And there's actually a Supreme Court opinion on this case. And the way that the process was started was deemed to be not sufficient. And so the case was tossed out. And when the prosecutor tried to start the case all over again, you know, under the rules that the Supreme Court had articulated, by the time that came around, there had been an election. And the local citizenry voted this gentleman out of office. So he wasn't there to proceed again. And then that was the way the 1959 raid kind of culminated. And as far as my research indicates, that for the 60s and 70s, then prostitution basically ran unfettered in Deadwood with little to no interruption. There was almost a city code of allowing these brothels as long as they operated in the way that the town wanted them to operate. And that all changed in 1980. There was a raid led by the federal government. It was not intended to shut the brothels down. They were looking for specific information that was tied to the murder of a federal district judge in Texas. And they came in and closed the places to conduct their raid. They arrested the prostitutes that were there at the time and took them in front of the grand jury to gather information. And then once the federal government, the agents there were done with that raid, the state kind of picked up the ball and decided this might be the time or the opportunity to rid Deadwood of these houses once and for all. So they picked up the action again along the civil lines and filed for an injunction and just procedurally began to dismantle the houses.
I'm really curious, and maybe we don't know this, but that first jury acquitted him rather quickly, and it didn't take too long where that changed. Now, was the jury selection much like we know it today, or do you suppose it was a little different back then?
No, I think the selection process was the same. You can imagine local communities, the attorneys, so their job is to get to know personalities, people's beliefs, and it's not only done in a jury selection where you point blank ask people questions in a process called voir dire, but in small localities, attorneys, I think, are charged with knowing people's general reputation, their general philosophy maybe on life, you know, things like that. So it's an interesting process. It's an important process. And I think in this case, it was particularly important if the aim was to find a jury that was more likely to understand that, you know, this could be one way where a message could be sent and the brothels could remain. Because after that trial, the three other madams who had been charged, there were to be four different trials, while the prosecutor quickly dropped the charges against the other three. So it was an effective use of a jury, if you will.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to author Michael Trump. He has a book called Raiding Deadwood's Badlands. This Thursday at noon, there's a presentation at the Homestake Adams Research and Cultural Center in Deadwood where he'll talk about this. And in the words Badlands, you and I talked about this. It's not the same Badlands that we know of to the east of Rapid City. That's correct, right?
That's correct. Yeah. In fact, I was a little concerned when I titled the book this way because I was afraid it would be confused with the Badlands near Wall. But when I was conducting a lot of my research, I came across the term Badlands from the 1870s when the town initiated. And what it was referring to was in a lot of these towns, there would be a kind of sectioning off of an area like this, like a red light district. And so you would have traditional commerce and business, other events going on in a certain area of town. And then further wherever, whichever direction you were headed, there would be an area where you would have things like the saloons or the brothels or the dance halls and the gambling going on. In Deadwood, Deadwood happened to have a very significant Chinese population. So I think that the Badland district was kind of sandwiched between the legitimate area of town, if you will, and then the Chinatown was on the other side of the Badlands. So this was an area that was known if you wanted to avoid that kind of activity, if you saw it as morally reprehensible, you would avoid that section of town. If you wanted to engage in that kind of activity, you knew where to go.
I'm going to switch gears, and we just have a few minutes left. And I mean, you used the word prohibition earlier, and we were talking about vices and how they wanted to rid Deadwood of its vices and prohibition. I would think that the Black Hills of South Dakota may have been conducive to moonshining. Am I on to something there?
You absolutely are. I think it's one of the many wonderful stories about Deadwood and the way it was maybe even geographically set up to be a place where vice occurred. During, I think, the 20s, there was prohibition on alcohol, so it was illegal to sell it. It was illegal to have it in your possession, much like illegal drugs today. It's a crime. So Deadwood was in a gulch, and there are hills surrounding. It was the perfect place to evade federal agents who might be looking to make a raid or capture somebody manufacturing alcohol. The hills were a perfect place to do that. And then Deadwood became known as, if you were from a local area like Spearfish or Sturgis and you couldn't get a drink there, Deadwood became known as the place to go get a drink if you wanted that. And then, of course, during the 30s or the 20s and the 30s, they had also the gambling and the prostitution going on. So I think that helped encourage or promote the idea that Deadwood was kind of the fun town or the place to go.
Did the moonshining get covered up, much like the brothels kind of did, because it was a boost for the economy at all, or don't we have history of that?
You know, I think it was more of a local thing and probably a personal choice. I don't know how much of an economy boost it was, but I think for people that wanted to have a drink or two and go out for a social evening, they knew that they could go to Deadwood. So it would probably trickle down the same way as they did the guys or the Johns coming to the brothels. They would probably go to Deadwood. They would probably go out to dinner. They might go dancing or, you know, maybe stay the night. But certainly it was a way to bring money into the town.
In the final 30 seconds we have, why Deadwood? Why Deadwood? Of all the towns that are around, why did they pick Deadwood?
You know what? The theme that I have running through the book is the Treaty of 1868 ceded these lands to the Lakota Sioux, and the people that settled Deadwood knew that, and yet they came here anyway. And I don't know that they were probably flagrantly a disregard for the law, or they were maybe felt above the law, but it's succeeding generations, I think, then, that maybe consciously or not, had this idea that we don't need to follow the law. It's just a theme that I have, because when you look at Deadwood compared to other gold rush towns, these kinds of things went away. The town grew up, and you didn't have prostitution existing on Main Street, or you didn't have gambling going on Main Street. And it's one of maybe my main theme that runs through the book, how this kind of attitude or this kind of belief maybe perpetuated in Deadwood. It was a unique circumstance or an anomaly, and that's how it was allowed to exist through to 1980.